We are watching that potential for some stronger storms on this weather alert day as we head into mainly this evening and overnight tonight. I'll talk about the timing and show you how the weekend looks coming up.
And there'll be extra counselors at a Durham middle school today after a student was found with a gun in a backpack yesterday. The questions some parents have about how and when they were notified.
Today we'll get a clearer picture of some of the potential changes for transgender youth in North Carolina. State lawmakers are considering several bills that could affect the way transgender children are treated in school. Lots to get to this 8 o'clock hour here on Fox 50. We always appreciate your time. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Jeff Hogan, and the clouds are building here on this WRL weather alert day. Anthony Baglione is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at exactly where that severe risk might hit.
Yeah, so at this point, guys, it looks like that severe storm potential mainly after about 6 to 7 p.m. tonight. And so most of today is looking pretty dry. I don't anticipate that shower and storm activity until this evening. Nonetheless, we do have that level one risk from northern Wake County to our northern counties at this point up toward North Carolina, Virginia, and that's including the potential for some stronger wind gusts for most of us. So that's the timing, 7 to 11 p.m., level one out of five for most of us, and some gusty winds as they come through. Maybe some small hail. The tornado threat is not there for us today, so we'll continue to watch that, but I don't think that's going to be a big issue for us, thankfully, after this storm system has caused just many, many tornado warnings here over its lifetime over the past couple of days. Here is 5 o'clock. Most of us still looking dry, but we'll watch those showers and storms. Pretty scattered in nature pushing in here this evening. There's 9 o'clock. If you have any plans here for tonight, or if you're traveling for the Easter holiday this weekend, getting together with family and friends, I do think by this evening we could have some issues, especially if you are heading west. We head up to about tomorrow morning. Some isolated showers still continuing on. No severe potential for us tomorrow morning, but it is going to set up a wetter pattern and a much cooler pattern for most of us this weekend. We're in the 80s today, and then, Brian, here into the weekend, we're talking temperatures in the 50s.
Anthony, it is now 8:02. Some new information about this crash on US 1 northbound around Cary Parkway. Just in the past couple of minutes, they have opened that left lane. You can also see there's a tow truck on the scene there getting that cleared. Still, it's going to be a little while before we get traffic flow back to normal out there. About a 10-minute slowdown overall from 55 and Apex up to I-40 in Cary. You can see once you get to Cary Parkway, it looks fine, but those backups now begin in Apex between 55 and 1010 Road, and it's slow all the way through 64 and Tryon Road out toward Cary Parkway. Still have that crash reported on 40 westbound around the Jones Sausage Road interchange this morning, adding up to about 14 additional minutes on your ride from 42 through the Jones Sausage Road interchange out toward the Beltline, with two big slowdowns, one right around the Clayton Bypass as usual, and then it slows down again from 70 business out toward Jones Sausage Road. Still seeing some backups on 440 eastbound as well this morning as you head away from Western and Hillsborough through Wade Avenue out toward the Lake Boone Trail area. If you can pick it up from Lake Boone Trail, you're in good shape heading out toward Glenwood Avenue. Looks like that may be construction related. Also, just getting reports of a minor crash in North Raleigh on Capitol Boulevard near Thornton Road, not affecting southbound traffic, so your ride out of Wake Forest toward 540 looks fine, but on that northbound side, heading away from 540 through Durant and Perry Creek Road, you're going to run into some pretty heavy delays.
Today, we expect to learn more about a potential seismic shift in the way transgender youth are treated in North Carolina, and that includes a potential ban on their ability to play on high school sports teams. WRL's Nia Harden is live at the General Assembly in Raleigh. And Nia, some of these changes could become law.
That's right. And if it does, this would ban transgender athletes from playing on women's sports teams in high schools. This bill being introduced the same day as Democrat Tricia Cotham. She introduced that she was going to be switching parties, giving Republicans a supermajority in the General Assembly. That means they have a real shot at passing bills like these after several years of trying. In total, six bills have been introduced this week, all targeting young people who identify as transgender, some of them limiting gender-affirming treatment for people under 18. We spoke to people on both sides about this.
It's nothing but bullying and just this continuation of the far right inserting themselves into families and into their children's health care. And they really have no place there.
A minor can't make informed consent. They can't make that decision until they reach adulthood. And so we believe that medical professionals should just let them grow up to be kids.
As for the sports bill, the organization in charge of North Carolina high school sports says that they currently have 15 transgender athletes participating. And the commissioner, she says that she has seen little to no impact when it comes to them participating. That is going to happen today with the Republicans at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll have that for you on the WRL News app. Nia Harden, WRL News in Raleigh.
And what's happening here in our state comes as lawmakers in other states and other parts of the country are pushing similar bills. Most recently, Kansas lawmakers passed a bill banning athletes who identify as transgender from competing in girls and women's sports. Lawmakers overrode the Democratic governor's veto yesterday. Now, the move comes one day after they passed a bill forbidding people who identify as transgender from using public restrooms, locker rooms, and other facilities associated with their gender identity.
This morning, there are extra counselors on hand for students at Sherwood Githens Middle School in Durham. It's a live look you see right here, and a sheriff's deputy just pulled up into that shot a few moments ago. This all comes a day after administrators say they found a gun in a student's backpack. They also say they received a tip from classmates who thought that student had an airsoft gun, but then they found out it was a real handgun. That student faces a year-long suspension, and we're working to learn if charges could follow with that. Durham schools didn't notify parents about the discovery until after school, and we asked district leaders why that was.
It's about making sure that students feel safe and protected.
Extra security will also be at Rogers Herr Middle School in Durham this morning after a social media threat happened there yesterday. School leaders tell us they are investigating its credibility.
Well, that storm system heading our way left a path of destruction all across the Midwest. State of emergency remains in effect in Missouri today, where five people died in a tornado. The National Weather Service says a tornado with winds reaching 130 miles per hour ripped through communities about 100 miles south of St. Louis early yesterday morning. State officials say nearly 100 buildings were damaged and at least a dozen were destroyed. Missouri's governor says people who lost their homes are getting the help they need.
I think the short term is there's always, you know, a lot of people come here, everybody's here to help. You're trying to find a placement for people who lost their homes. But I think it's more important the weeks afterwards and the months after how we're able to help those people.
At least five other people were hurt in that storm. Officials say search and rescue efforts continue for more people.
The rules for making changes to the curriculum used by teachers and students in North Carolina's public schools could soon be stricter. The State Board of Education is voting today on how statewide standards are set. A new set of proposed rules would require three-quarters of school systems to respond to a survey on any changes before they happen. The policy would also require some parent and student feedback. Today's meeting starts at 9 a.m.
Well, finding solutions to gun violence will be the focus tonight as local leaders and the Durham County Sheriff gather at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. The Durham branch of the NAACP and the Durham Community on Affairs of Black People are hosting a panel discussion. They'll also answer questions about the best ways to reduce a rise in shootings, especially among young people. Organizers say there's a lot of work to do.
It begins with the home. But it's not the home's fault. We can look at communities. It's not the community's fault. We can look at law enforcement. It's not law enforcement's fault. Schools, not the school's fault. And so that's why we have to have this holistic approach.
Well, tonight's discussion starts at 6:30.
After one North Carolina Democrat switched to the Republican Party, another is squashing rumors that he'll do the same. This is the latest development in the shifting balance of power in the General Assembly, where you're looking live right now at the legislative building. Just last night, Guilford County Democrat Cecil Brockman released a statement saying in part, quote, "I've been a lifelong Democrat and I want to see Democrats win." This comes after Representative Tricia Cotham's departure from the Democratic Party, which gives Republicans a supermajority in the House. And that means Governor Roy Cooper's veto power is essentially gone. Cotham said she changed parties because she was treated poorly by Democrats. Cotham claims she was shunned, harassed, even bullied.
I've suffered many attacks since I've been up here from Democrats in the party, from blasting me on Twitter to calling me names, to going after my family, going after my children. That is wrong. And I will not stand for that. I will not be bullied.
Cotham also said she was punished for being a free thinker and that she refused to be controlled by Democrats.
Well, Cotham's Democratic colleagues are calling on her to resign. At the Democratic Party headquarters, party leaders and advocates called on the representative's actions. They called it a betrayal. They say the people who voted her into office deserve better.
They deserve to know who they're voting for and what they're going to stand for when they're running for office and when they're put into a position of power. And that's not what Tricia Cotham has allowed the voters of 112 to do today.
The state Democratic Party says Cotham's choice to switch parties puts women's reproductive freedom in jeopardy statewide.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, two men are dead after their small plane crashed in Venice, Florida overnight. I do have live aerial photos here from the crash site. This is in Venice, Florida from our sister station, WFLA. But officials say two men on board were killed. They're checking for more possible victims. The plane went down half a mile off the Venice fishing pier. That is what you are looking at right now. Investigators are working to determine what caused the small plane to crash into the Gulf of Mexico. Again, this happened around 9:30 last night. Officials looking for any more possible victims, but right now they say two men were killed.
A historic moment caught on film. The photographer captured this image, talks with WREL, and what was going through his mind at that moment.
And more people are packing their bags for summer travel. Coming up, the popular travel destination that is considering having tourists pay to keep it beautiful.
And make sure to soak up the dry time that we're going to see for most of today, because we have some rain on the way for tonight and through the weekend. I'll have a look at Futurecast and who could see some storms coming up.
Eight 15 is the time right now, and just a few moments ago they teed off at the Masters down in Augusta, Georgia. You're looking live right now at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, home of the famed Pinehurst Number 2 and the 2024 next year U.S. Men's Open Championship. How about it? Watching WRL News available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. See the clouds hanging there down in the sand hills all the way up to the Triangle and really to the coast. Anthony Baglione of the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Yeah, we are certainly tracking the cloud cover with us this morning and then the rain that starts to push in late tonight. So most of today, if you're doing any traveling, heading out to, let's say, RDU, you're looking good to go here. There are some showers and storms, though, currently to our west. So if you're flying into a place like, let's say, Nashville, there may be a few of those delays out there this morning. Otherwise, it is a warm start. We're at 71 in Raleigh, Fayetteville, Durham, Rocky Mount. That seems to be the favorite number for us right now. And then the mid to upper 60s for our northern counties. So feeling pretty comfortable. There's a little bit of humidity that will aid in that potential for some storms here, mainly into tonight. Notice those rain chances, though. Really, for a large chunk of today, it's going to be fine to get outside if you're doing anything or just traveling. Looking good. We start to head into this evening, and the latest models continue to take this timing and push it back a little bit. And so I think at this point, 7 to 8 o'clock, we're talking isolated showers and storms, and then we'll go scattered with some better coverage after about 8 p.m. this evening. And they could be on the stronger side. The best ingredients for that strong to severe potential are going to be to our north, but we do have a level one risk from essentially northern Wake County up toward the North Carolina-Virginia border. Damaging wind gusts would be our primary potential and maybe some small hail. The good thing is here, as opposed to the past couple of days where this storm system brought numerous tornado warnings across some parts of the country, that risk is substantially lower for us tonight. So that's good. I like seeing that, but nonetheless, we could still see some gusty winds. Here is Futurecast. We time it out hour by hour going through this afternoon and evening. A pretty dry forecast up until late this evening. There's 8, 9 o'clock or so. Any one of these batches that you see showing up with that red, the yellow, that could be some of those heavier downpours and maybe some rumbles of thunder. We bump it ahead to tomorrow morning. And again, the severe potential at this point will be low or virtually non-existent. That should end at about midnight. But we wake up tomorrow morning. We have the cloud cover with us like this morning. And we're going to introduce that chance of some showers here continuing tomorrow and throughout the day tomorrow, really. So keep that in mind here. Soak up that dry time that we have right now. If you're traveling here, I want to talk about that for a second. So this is over today in the southeast. It's still going to be warm for everyone. There is currently where that storm system is, and it's going to continue to push east as we go throughout today. So drier down toward a place like Orlando, back toward Nashville, for instance. That's where the wetter weather is currently. Up to the north as well, Cleveland, a 49-degree reading, so a bit cool here for us today. And those showers and storms head toward New York and Boston by the time we head into later this afternoon and evening. So overall here, we're going to watch for that potential of our showers and storms coming in this evening. It is a weather alert day. We're at 58 on Friday, 50-degree on Saturday. Looking better there, though, Brian, as we head into the second half of our Easter with some drier time.
It is 8:18 right now, Anthony. We're going to head out to US 1 and 64 at Tryon Road in Cary. Just want to show you that it is getting better out there. That earlier crash at Cary Parkway largely has cleared, and those backups now down to just 2 minutes, and most of that is back in Apex between 55 and the 1010 Road interchange. So we're looking good heading through Cary on up toward Raleigh on US 1 northbound. Still picking up some delays, though, in Garner. We had an earlier crash on 40 westbound around the Jones Sausage Road interchange. That largely has cleared, and now we're looking at sort of the typical delays right around the Clayton Bypass, about a 6-minute backup as you head through that area. Once you get up to Business 70 and Jones Sausage Road, traffic is flowing pretty freely on into Raleigh. Still tracking delays on the northbound side of Capitol Boulevard, heading away from 540 up to Durant Road. There's a crash right around Thornton Road. Once you get beyond Thornton Road, you're in good shape heading up toward Wake Forest. But right around Durant Road, you're going to run into those northbound delays. On the southbound side of Capitol Boulevard this morning, we're not seeing any delays coming in from Wake Forest. And also, we're looking good on southbound Lewisburg Road heading out of Rollsville back toward Raleigh. Major approaches into Durham pretty quiet. A little bit of a slowdown on the southbound side of 501 coming in from Infinity Road down toward I-85. But I-40 is looking good in both directions.
Thousands of students across the nation are taking action against gun violence. They're protesting and demanding better safety measures in the wake of recent school shootings. More than 200 schools participated Wednesday, including students from Uvalde High School in Texas, the same city where a school shooter killed 19 students and two teachers at an elementary school last year. Durham School of the Arts is one of the schools where students are making their voices heard. Middle and high schoolers joined the nationwide walkout yesterday. The students organized the walkout with support from school staff. The principal at the school told WRAL administrators stand with their students, and this issue affects everyone.
Well, a photo is circulating all across many news outlets. It shows former President Donald Trump arriving for his criminal court hearing in Manhattan on Tuesday. The Getty Images photographer who took it, Michael Santiago, talked only to WRAL about what it was like to be in this moment and capturing history. The Pulitzer Prize winning photographer said it was quiet inside the hallway leading to the courtroom. When Trump finally appeared, the photographer wasted no time.
I had my camera to my eye pointing towards where to the doorway he was walking out of, and I was just prepared for him to walk out. And as soon as that door opened up, I just hit my shutter and just kept it pressed. Everything around me at that moment just kind of like disappeared, and it was just me making sure that I got exactly what I needed. And I just focused on him.
Moment to remember, right? Well, Santiago also took this photo of Trump outside Trump Tower. He said it was louder than inside the courthouse, but both moments felt the same. You can watch Santiago's entire interview with WRAL's Chris Lovinggood on WRAL.com in the Watch Now section.
Future Ford vehicles could have technology that would call drones in the case of minor emergencies. The company filed a patent for technology that would send the drones instead of a service truck to help drivers whose car's battery is dead. They might have cameras and sensors that could give power back to a dead battery. The drone could either be stored in the car's trunk or glove compartment. For now, it's just a patent for the technology. Ford hasn't announced any moves to get this thing moving forward.
Well, pack your bags. International travel is on the rise. The AAA reporting airline bookings are up more than 200% compared to 2022. Europe and Canada are the most popular destinations. As a result, hotel bookings are on the rise as well, up more than 300% compared to last year. Higher demand for flights means higher airfares, but it doesn't seem to be deterring travelers.
How about people traveling to Hawaii? They may need to pay for more than just their flight and hotel. The state is considering a move that would make travelers pay to keep its tropical environment clean. Officials say the increase of visitors is taking a toll on its coral reefs, forests, and beaches. If approved, Those tourists would have to pay a pass or license in order to visit state parks and trails. It's not clear how much that fee would be yet.
Well, the movie theater industry, Jeff, is trying to get back on its feet. This comes after theaters faced major setbacks during the height of the pandemic. It's estimated the box office will make $8 to $9.5 billion in ticket sales this year. That would be more than $6 billion from sales in 2020. It's also a slow comeback as some theater companies have shut down or filed for bankruptcy.
Our state, and specifically people of a small Nash County town, are preparing for the arrival of a major movie studio. Ascent Studios is coming to Spring Hope to start its production hub. The plan includes 6,000 stages, 170,000 square feet of space there, and state leaders have provided the incentive of a 25% tax grant to help get the project built and operating. The location also gives the company close access to Raleigh and filming locations from the mountains to the coast.
A top now 823 will get a better idea today of the potential changes for transgender youth in North Carolina. Coming up, what bills state lawmakers are considering that could affect the way transgender children are treated in school.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning at 8:26. I'm Ken Smith. It's a WRAL Weather Alert Day. Let's get over to meteorologist Anthony Bagley on tracking just when the risk of severe weather could move into our area.
Yeah, Ken. So most of this is going to start to push in into this evening. So the Storm Prediction Center has us under this level one risk from basically Raleigh, Wake County up to the north. The best chances are going to be across Virginia, but still keep in mind we could see some damaging wind gusts here into this evening up until about midnight or so. There is future cast. We'll see a pretty nice dry day for us today up until when they start to push in by about 7 to 8 p.m. And they'll continue to work through. Some of those could have some gusty winds. And then we head into tomorrow morning, Brian, still tracking some isolated showers at that point.
Anthony, we're looking a lot better on the roads this morning. We have a few crashes in the clearing stages, but a lot of the major backups we've been tracking have started to ease up a little bit. On the north side of Raleigh, still have this crash on the northbound side of Capitol Boulevard around Thornton Road with some lingering slowdowns between 540 and Durant Road, but it looks like the crash itself has cleared, and it's not affecting southbound traffic this morning. Looking good in Durham, and as we take a look at your major approaches into Raleigh, just tracking a four-minute backup on 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass.
This morning, state Republican lawmakers will discuss one of six new measures that's part of the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. It would ban people who identify as transgender from playing on women's high school sports teams. Extra counselors will be on hand for students at Sherwood-Githens Middle School in Durham today. It comes one day after administrators say they found a gun in a student's backpack. That student faces a year-long suspension. We're working to learn if charges could follow as well. Well, next on Fox 50, we'll tell you about extra security at another Durham middle school this morning after social media threat. And the Today Show continues on WRAL.
We could see the potential for some strong to severe storms as we head into tonight. I'll talk about the timing and show you how the weekend looks in our Easter forecast coming up.
And today, state Republicans will share a plan to limit how student transgender athletes play. Coming up, we'll tell you why this could be successful this time.
Plus, there are extra counselors at Durham Middle School today after a student was found with a gun in a backpack yesterday. The questions some parents have about how and when they were notified. Thanks for making us part of your Thursday here. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Ken Smith. You see behind us here the cloud cover. Yeah. Boy, things are about to change in a few hours. Let's get back over to meteorologist Anthony Baglioni in the WR Severe Weather Center. Just tracking how our day is going to shape up.
Yeah, Ken, so the good thing is at this point, if you are traveling today, let's say leaving RDU or planning here for this Easter weekend, the rain, the storm potential really does not come in until we head into this evening. And even by about 7 to 8 o'clock or so, it's still fairly scattered coverage at that. So that's good. But nonetheless, let's make you aware here of what's going on out there. We do have the cloud cover in place. No rainfall right now. The severe storm potential, though, does stretch. This is that level one down to about the city of Raleigh. It includes Durham and our northern counties, and a very small sliver of Mecklenburg County is in that level two risk, mainly for damaging wind gusts here this evening. We are dry, though, right now. We're going to continue that trend here over the next little while. There's 3 o'clock this afternoon. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy for us today, I think leaning a little bit more toward that mostly cloudy, but I do think we will see some peaks of sunshine, which will be good. We head to this evening, though. There's 9 o'clock. In fact, this is actually a brand new run of Futurecast. Continues to show that coverage, especially from the triangle to the north of some of those having maybe some gusty winds. Very, very small hail potentially is also a potential for us into tonight. We head into tomorrow morning, waking up, you guessed it, with some more showers continuing here tomorrow and through the weekend. We'll talk about the timing here going into our Saturday, our Sunday, our Easter, and if we have some dry time on the way, guys, coming up here in just a few minutes.
Anthony, thanks. So this morning, we'll get a clearer picture of some potentially huge changes for transgender youth in North Carolina. Those include their ability to play high school sports. WRL's Nyah Harden explains what we know right now.
This morning, the focus will be on a measure to ban transgender student athletes when it comes to them participating in women's sports in high school. This bill was introduced the same day Democrat Tricia Cotham switched parties, giving Republicans a supermajority in the General Assembly. That means they have a real shot at passing bills like these after several years of trying. In total, 6 bills have been introduced this week, all targeting young people who identify as transgender. Some of them limit gender-affirming treatment for people under 18. We spoke to people on both sides about this.
There's this whole false narrative that trans kids just walk in and can start taking hormones or get surgery. When any family who's supporting their trans child will tell you, it takes years for them to get access, sometimes just the mental health care.
These gender mutilation procedures that are being performed on minors are really child abuse. And so we believe kids ought to be given a chance to resolve their confusion about their sex.
As for the sports bill, the organization in charge of high school sports here in North Carolina says there are currently 15 transgender athletes. The commissioner, she says that they have had little to no impact from their participation. The Republicans will be speaking this morning at 10 o'clock. We'll have that for you on the WRAL News app. Nyah Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And this all comes as lawmakers in other states across the country are pushing similar bills. Most recently, Kansas lawmakers passed a bill banning athletes who identify as transgender from competing in girls' and women's sports. Lawmakers overrode the Democratic governor's veto of the bill yesterday. The move comes a day after they passed a bill forbidding people who identify as transgender from using public restrooms, locker rooms, and other facilities associated with their gender identities.
Well, the storm system Anthony just mentioned headed our way left a path of destruction all across the Midwest. A state of emergency remains in effect in Missouri today, where 5 people died in a tornado. The National Weather Service says the tornado, with winds reaching 130 miles per hour, ripped through communities about 100 miles south of St. Louis early yesterday morning. State officials say nearly 100 buildings were damaged and at least a dozen were destroyed. Missouri's governor says the recovery process will be lengthy.
I think when you look at the devastation of this, it's going to be weeks upon months to be able to recover. It's a long journey ahead for the people that live here.
At least 5 other people were hurt in that storm. Officials say a search and rescue effort continues for more people. The National Weather Service will be in Louisville today to examine tornado damage there. The city's mayor says one person died as the storm came through yesterday afternoon. That death, though, is not yet officially linked to the severe weather. Officials have confirmed one tornado touchdown in that city. The Weather Service will look at damage today to determine whether there were more tornadoes.
This morning, there are extra counselors on hand for students at Sherwood Givens Middle School in Durham. This comes a day after administrators say they found a gun in a student's backpack. They say they received a tip from classmates who thought the student had an airsoft gun, but learned it was a real handgun. That student faces a year-long suspension. We're working to learn if any more charges could follow. Durham schools didn't notify parents about the discovery until after school, and we asked the district why.
It's about making sure that students feel safe and protected.
Extra security will also be at Rogers Herr Middle School in Durham this morning after a social media threat there yesterday. School leaders tell us they're investigating its credibility.
As Jeff just mentioned, students will be at more security will be at Rogers Herr Middle School as well today. In a call to principals, they were told that families were told that school received a possible threat on social media. Durham police are investigating. At this point, investigators and school leaders have not found the threat to be credible. The principal told parents to talk with their children and remind them posting threats to schools is serious and will not be tolerated.
Finding solutions to gun violence will be the focus tonight as local leaders in Durham. Durham County Sheriff will be there gathering at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. The Durham branch of the NAACP and Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People are hosting a panel discussion. They'll also answer questions about the best ways to reduce a rise in shootings, especially among young people. Organizers say there's a lot of work to be done.
Their aggression and their tendencies are often taken out on one another because they can't reach the people that are causing them the hurt or the harm. And so we have to find a way to help them mitigate these things and come to terms with where they are.
That discussion tonight starts at 6:30.
A $30 billion plan to spend your tax dollars on raising teacher pay and bringing health care to hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina is one step closer to becoming law. The State House is set to hold one final vote today on its budget plan before sending it to the State Senate. It includes the biggest raises in years for teachers and state employees and funding for Medicaid expansion. Senate Republicans want to include bigger tax cuts before sending the budget to the governor. You can read more about this budget proposal and what's inside on nccapital.com.
Newly released 911 calls reveal more about the moments right after a 12-year-old girl was shot in Durham. The caller describes hearing gunshots and seeing three people carrying guns when that shooting happened last month.
We heard gunshots, and there are three people out with guns, and we think someone may have been shot. Okay, we're just staying down. That's all the information that we have.
Police say the shooting happened outside a business near South Street. The 12-year-old girl was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. We have not received an update on her condition.
Well, we'll learn more today about how millions of dollars will be spent to address the opioid crisis in our area. State Attorney General Josh Stein will meet with leaders in Franklin, Granville, and Vance counties this morning. They'll look over the community's share of a $26 billion settlement with major opioid distributors. Those payments will be spread out over several years. Today's discussion starts at 9:30 at the Granville Expo and Convention Center in Oxford.
A bipartisan effort to boost transportation funding in North Carolina is moving forward at the State House. The proposal is designed to add a tax, 50 or 25 cents, to rideshare services like Uber and Lyft. In addition, it would allow for more toll roads in the state, increasing the number from 3 to 6. Also, increased fees could be seen on electric cars or expensive vehicles.
We're getting a closer look to having a vaccine to help fight RSV. The research Pfizer is doing to combat the respiratory illness.
Subway has a new sandwich on its menu for the Easter holiday that people are saying is disgusting. We'll see if you can stomach it next.
I'm going to give you a live look now at Rocky Mount Mills, a rather cloudy Rocky Mount Mills. Today is a WREL weather alert day. We'll check in with meteorologist Anthony Baglione in just a few minutes. He'll tell us when storms will be moving into our area. Welcome back at 8:43. A pleasant good morning to our loyal viewers over there in Lewisburg. We appreciate your time and watching this morning. It's a WREL weather alert day, and let's go over to meteorologist Anthony Baglione tracking how our day is going to shape up and exactly the rest of the weekend, actually.
Ken, yeah, you walk outside right now, and it certainly is actually pretty nice. We have warm temperatures, and the cloud cover is in place, but for the most part, Today itself, during the day, we're not going to have any issues. So still, you can head outside and enjoy the weather, at least the warm temperatures we're seeing in those peaks of sunshine. Here is a live look, our Zebulon camera. You can see the flag blowing around just a little bit out ahead of our cold front that's going to come through. That will bring that potential for some showers and storms into this evening. We sit at 71 right now in Raleigh, 70 in Clinton, 70 degrees. Good morning to you in Goldsboro as well. Definitely a warm start, and we are only going up from here. Temperatures right in the upper 80s this afternoon. We hit 87 yesterday. I have us right about that once again for us today. The other thing we're watching here, this is the Storm Prediction Center outlook. So we do have that level one risk from basically the city of Raleigh to the north, North Carolina, Virginia border, and we head up toward Virginia. That's where it does increase to that level 2 out of 5 risk. Mainly the potential is there for some gusty winds. This is not going to be a big severe potential for us today, thankfully. If that changes, we will, of course, let you know. But the tornado potential and the overall severe potential, very low. Nonetheless, we still have that level one risk as these come in tonight. We head to about 9 p.m. or so. That's where we're thinking from the triangle to the north, some scattered showers and storms. Notice by this point, too, our southern areas, Goldsboro, Fayetteville, Sanford, are fairly dry at that point. So that's good, but then they'll get some more waves coming through overnight tonight into tomorrow morning. The severe potential ends at midnight. We wake up tomorrow morning, though, still talking about some scattered showers in the forecast and then rain continuing off and on through the day tomorrow. So this is really going to set up a wetter pattern for us as well as a cooler pattern. We're at 58 for us tomorrow, 50 degrees on Saturday, 59 for Easter Sunday. There's going to be that potential for a few showers, mainly during the first half of our Easter. So any of those sunrise services or just heading out early Easter morning could be needing the rain gear, I think, with those showers pushing through, and then they really start to taper off into the afternoon. So overall, I do think we'll manage to salvage a pretty nice Easter after this forecast over the next couple of days with some unsettled and cool weather. Today is a weather alert day, 87. That does not come in until this evening, though, so just keep that in mind. We're at 58 tomorrow. Look at all those rain chances. So what I'll say is keep the umbrella and plan for rain off and on here tonight, tomorrow, even into Saturday, and then continuing Sunday morning before we finally start to see it taper off. We're at 59 on Easter Sunday, 64 on Monday. Thankfully, though, we do see a bit of a rebound into most of next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, looking at lots of sunshine, guys, and temperatures back at 76 by Wednesday and Thursday.
Anthony, thanks for that. John F. Kennedy's nephew is running for president in 2024. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has filed the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to run as a Democrat. He was previously known as an author and environmental lawyer. In recent years, he's become a prominent voice in the anti-vaccine movement. Kennedy joins author Marianne Williamson as Democratic candidates for the election. President Biden is expected to announce his bid for re-election sometime this year.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is highlighting the importance of bipartisanship this morning following a high-stakes meeting with Taiwan's president. This was the first time Taiwan's president met with a U.S. House Speaker on American soil. The two gathered with a group of bipartisan U.S. lawmakers Wednesday at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. China condemned that meeting.
But the one thing I would say to China, too, at no time, I am the Speaker of the House. There's no place that China's going to tell me and where I can go or who I can speak to, whether you be foe or whether you be friend.
McCarthy also made it known that the U.S. does not have any intentions to escalate tensions. He says the plan is to continue to build and foster democracy and freedom around the world.
After decades of waiting, survivors of Camp Lejeune's toxic water are finally having their cases heard in court. A federal judge in Raleigh held a status hearing yesterday that could eventually affect the direction of thousands of claims against the U.S. government. WRL Investigates has reported for years on families affected by contaminated water at Camp Lejeune from the 1950s to the 1980s. Judge James Deaver warned attorneys and the government to create a database and format for settlements. Otherwise, it could take 1,000 years to handle all the claims.
These people don't have this long to wait. And, you know, the thing that was disappointing to hear was confirmation that not one settlement offer has been made in the 8 months since this law was passed.
Last year, the Congress passed a PACT Act, which confirmed the harm caused by Camp Lejeune's water and provided a path to legal recourse for thousands of families who live there.
Another state is one step closer to requiring children to get parents' permission to use social media. A bill was approved Wednesday by the Arkansas House of Representatives. Kids under the age of 18 would need their parents' consent to use social media. The proposal now moves back to the Arkansas Senate. Utah's governor signed a similar measure into law last month.
This morning, you're invited to meet with Raleigh's police chief. Chief Estella Patterson will join other law enforcement officers for Walk with a Cop at Pullen Park. They'll be on hand to answer questions about the city's police department and community efforts. You'll also get a free train ride out of it. Today's event runs from 10 to 11 a.m.
If you like burritos, today is your day. It's National Burrito Day, and WREL's smart shopper Faye Prosser is here with the details on some tasty deals. And Faye, you've got my attention. Who's offering burrito promotions today?
Yeah, well, we've got you covered, Ken. So you'll find at Moe's Southwest Grill, if you buy one burrito at regular price, you'll get a second one 50% off. It's valid for online, in-store, and app orders today, April 6th, at participating locations. And over at Chipotle, you'll find they are giving away thousands of free burrito codes on Twitter at Chipotle Tweets, valid all day. Throughout the day, they're giving away these codes. Plus, you can get free delivery on burrito orders through their app or website. Code DELIVER today, April 6th, at participating locations. I do have a list of additional Burrito Day deals for you over on the Smart Shopper page.
Well, I know what I'm having for lunch. You know, Easter's coming up this weekend. A lot of people are planning their home meals or they're planning to go out to eat. So walk us through some of the grocery store deals and for restaurants offering Easter deals.
Sure. Whether you're cooking at home or getting to go order or going out to eat, we got you covered. So, for instance, shank portion ham, 99 cents a pound over at Food Lion this week. Semi-boneless smoked ham, half or whole, only 99 cents a pound at Publix through Saturday. Smithfield spiral sliced ham as low as 97 cents a pound with the $10 Lowe's Foods digital coupon over at Lowe's Foods. Spiral sliced ham, only $1.19 a pound at Food Lion and $1.49 a pound at Aldi. Sweet potatoes, only 49 cents a pound at Aldi and Publix, and 69 cents a pound over at Food Lion. Plus, restaurant and grocery store to-go Easter meals are available to pre-order now. Many of them you can still order through Friday or Saturday. And you'll find there are special dine-in Easter brunch or dinner menus at multiple area locations like Cracker Barrel and Metro Diner, and to-go meals from the Fresh Market, Wegmans, Publix, and more. And I have a list for you, of course, over on the Smart Shopper column on WREL's website.
So many delicious options to choose from. For more smart shopping tips from Faye, go to WREL.com, look for the consumer tab and search Smart Shopper. Faye, always great to see you.
Thanks, Ken.
How about this surveillance video showing the moment lightning strikes a truck in Missouri? Wow. Greene County shared this video on Facebook on Tuesday. The lightning hit the roof of a highway department truck, cracking the front and rear windshield. Lightning also hit the ground and damaged other equipment and several manhole covers.
Well, the world's first ever RSV vaccine moves closer to getting the green light for adults and infants. Pfizer says it's asked the FDA for approval. Researchers say a late-stage trial shows promise. Pfizer says its RSV vaccine was also effective in late-stage pregnancies, which could extend protection to newborns. Well, the first major golf tournament of the year already underway. Golfers already teeing off at the Augusta National Golf Club about a half hour ago. 88 players will be vying to win that coveted green jacket, including 20 former champions, one you just saw right there, Tiger Woods, five-time champion, by the way, and defending champion, Scottie Scheffler.
Not everyone is excited about Subway's new Easter-themed sandwich. So the chain's teamed up with Cadbury for a limited edition chocolate sandwich, which features the famous cream egg. The sub will be given away for free on Good Friday at select Subway restaurants in the United Kingdom. Some people are already weighing in, calling it absolutely disgusting. It's an interesting mix, I'll tell you that. And maybe there's a reason, Ken, that they have to give it away for free.
Yeah.
I don't know who's paying for it.
Nobody's going to pay for that sandwich. I mean, I don't want my chocolate in between a loaf of bread. I mean, it just doesn't sound appetizing.
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, when I was younger, I would eat those Cadbury eggs. They were like a delicacy, but
it was a treat.
Yeah. But, maybe a bite of one now.
Not so much. Well, as we head to break, here's a winning look at your lottery numbers. And after the break, we'll get another check of weather and traffic.